Today we'll be looking, as we've already indicated, at another one of those little things that we read about in Scripture. And so our text for today is verse 13. Verse 13, 1 Kings 17. And Elijah said unto her, that is the widow woman of Zarephath, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Having spent more than 12 months by the brook Cherith and been fed by the ravens, verse 7 tells us it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. It was then time for the Lord to move his servant Elijah, to move him on from the dried up brook to a place where he could be fed and watered. It was then that Elijah received a directive from the Lord. You look there at the verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and go. But notice here that Elijah, even though he had spent some time at the brook Cherith, and now that the brook had dried up because there was no rain in the land, you will notice that Elijah did not leave the brook until he was told to do so. Now, if we had put ourselves in Elijah's position, we would have seen the brook dried up and thought to ourselves, we better do something about this, and perhaps left the brook in search of water. Elijah did not do that. Elijah did not leave the brook until he received a word from the Lord. This reminds us of the words of the psalmist. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, Psalm 37 and verse 23. And you notice also that when Elijah received his orders, when the Lord said to Elijah, arise and get thee to Zarephath, Elijah obeyed. So, for we read in verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. So let us make it our prayer that we will always obey the word of the Lord. We will let the word of the Lord direct us. That's how Elijah lived his life. If you just look up near the beginning of the chapter, and we read in verse 2, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. That's what the Lord told him to do. Now look at verse 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Elijah lived his life according to the word of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 133 says, order my steps in thy word. We would do well to make that our prayer. Lord, order my steps according to thy word. Help me not to lean upon my own understanding. But in all my ways, Lord, to acknowledge Thee, knowing that Thou shalt direct my paths. That's how Elijah lived. You have the directive and you have the dwelling. In telling Elijah to go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, he was told to dwell there. Verse 9. And then the Lord said, Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain me. I wonder what thoughts went through the mind of Elijah. He has just been by the brook Cherith. He's been there for over a year. The brook has dried up. He's waiting for direction from the Lord. The Lord then speaks to him and says, Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I wonder, did the thought go through the mind of Elijah, well, how can a widow woman, a poor widow woman, look after me? It's really no better going to this widow woman than it would be to stay by this brook that has dried up. She can't have very much. She's a widow. The breadwinner has passed away. And she has a son to look after. I wonder what went through the mind of Elijah. But I want you to notice something. In that verse 9, the Lord said, Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. If you take that word dwell, the word dwell means to sit down there or to rest there. It's as if the Lord was saying to Elijah, don't concern yourself. Don't trouble yourself. Don't be anxious about going to this widow woman. Just go and rest there. Just go and be at peace there. Because I will look after you through this widow woman. The Lord was telling Elijah not to worry. You'll notice again near the beginning of the chapter that the Lord told him to do the same thing at the brook Cherith. We read in verse 5, So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and went and dwelt, or rested, by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. So you can see once again how Elijah was led by the word of the Lord. And whenever he was led by the word of the Lord, Elijah knew he didn't need to panic. He didn't need to be worried. He didn't need to be troubled. He was been led by the Lord. The Lord wasn't going to fail him. The Lord wasn't going to lead him in the wrong direction. The Lord wasn't going to desert him at the brook Cherith, so he could go there and rest there. Simply rest in the Lord. That's what he was doing. And dear believer, how often do you get worried about something? You have a need to be met. And you don't know how it's going to be met. And you worry about it. And you're troubled about it. And you can't sleep at night. Why not rest in the Lord? Because that's what Elijah did. He dwelt by the brook Cherith. He went to the widow woman of Zarephath and he dwelt there as well. He rested. Remember again the words of the psalmist. Psalmist says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he goes on to say, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 37, verses 5 and 7. That is what Elijah did. When he went to Zarephath, he was told to dwell there or to rest there. Elijah went there and he rested in the Lord. If the Lord told him to go to the widow woman in Zarephath, no matter what it looked like, Elijah rested in the Lord. If the Lord told him to go to the widow woman, then the widow woman would supply his need. Isn't it good to live your life according to God's word? As we've already said, the Lord will never lead you astray. The Lord will never lead you into a place and then abandon you. He didn't lead Elijah to the brook Cherith and then abandon him. He didn't lead him to the widow woman of Zarephath and then abandon him. No. And he'll not abandon us. He'll not abandon you. You can have every confidence in the Lord and in his word. But as the Lord directs you, you can confidently follow in the way the Lord has directed you. Now, if this widow was going to sustain the prophet, first of all, be the test of her faith. That's what I want to look at today as we were singing this morning. Faith is the victory. And I want to look at faith in this woman's life and how faith gained her the victory. And so here, first of all, is the test of her faith. The whole matter about Elijah being sustained was completely in the hands of the Lord. The Lord would order the circumstances so that the prophet would indeed be fed and watered, well looked after. Notice again what the Lord said to Elijah. Mark the words. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Mark the word there. Now look at verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. The widow woman was in the place, exactly in the place the Lord said she would be. The Lord said there'll be a woman there and she'll sustain you. Whenever Elijah got to Zarephath, the woman was there. See what I mean? You can certainly walk in the ways of the Lord as directed by his word. The Lord didn't tell Elijah, go to Zarephath and a widow woman will meet you there. And then Elijah, go to Zarephath, and the woman wasn't there. She was exactly where the Lord said she would be. You see, believer, you can trust the Lord. You can trust him. You can trust him. You can take him at his word. He'll never fail you. And here we have the introduction. Here's Elijah introduced to the widow woman. We're told in verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. If you take that word commanded, Now, it would appear that this woman did not hear any audible command from God. Indeed, when you look at the context, you will see that this widow woman did not realize that the Lord had commanded her to go to that place where Elijah would meet her. The word commanded, the word means appointed. And so the Lord is telling Elijah, I have appointed a widow woman to sustain you there. The Lord in His providence appointed this particular woman to be there. She wasn't aware of any commandment. I don't believe she was even aware of the leading of the Lord in her life. She doesn't make any reference to it. She was completely unaware that the Lord had chosen her, had appointed her to be there at that spot, at that place, when Elijah arrived, and she would be the one appointed by the Lord to feed and to water Elijah. You know, that should teach us that while the Lord may not at times command us to go to a certain place or in a certain direction, we are there. We're not aware of the Lord leading us to a certain place, but we can be in a certain place and the Lord can use us there because He has appointed us to fulfill His will and His purpose, even though we may be completely unaware of it. Let me show you an example. If you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. In Luke 22, we read in verse 7. Luke 22 and verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And He sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto Him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? The Lord wanted to eat the Passover with His disciples, but they didn't know where to go. The Lord directed them. Mark again the word of the Lord. The importance of following the directive given by the word of the Lord. And He said unto them, here's the word, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. There's the appointment. Unknown to the man bearing a pitcher of water, he had been appointed by the Lord to be there at a certain place at a certain time. The Lord had appointed him to be there when the disciples would arrive. And the Lord says, Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and he shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there, make ready. Now you and I would maybe say, looking at that, oh, what a coincidence. Isn't it a coincidence that the man carrying the pitcher of water was there at the same time the disciples arrived? No, it's no coincidence. The Lord had appointed that man carrying the pitcher of water to be there, even unknown to him. You see, God is able to order our circumstances, even unknown to us, by His providence. He can order our circumstances in order that he might fulfill his will and his plan. That's what he did for Elijah. That's what he did with regard to the eating of the Passover. A man carrying a pitcher of water was appointed by the Lord to be there at that time. That's the introduction. Then you have the instruction. Upon meeting the widow, the prophet immediately gives her instructions. Verse 10. What does he say to her? In verse 10 he says, "And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman there gathering sticks, and called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Now, as far as this widow woman's concerned, Elijah's a total stranger. She's never met him before. And here at a time of famine and dearth, there hadn't been rain for over a year. And in a time of famine and dearth, a total stranger comes upon the scene as she's gathering sticks, and he says to her, "Fetch me a little water in a vessel." Here was the first test of this woman's faith. Remember, after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And Elijah was asking for water. This was the first test of her faith. Should she give him the water? Would she have enough water left for herself and her child? So her faith was tested a little. Just as your faith and mine is tested a little from time to time. If it's only a little test of our faith, well, don't we feel confident enough and comfortable enough that our faith will see us through? Like the widow, we would be ready to give a little water, confident that we could find water somewhere else. It wasn't really a great test of her faith. It was a little test when she was asked for a little water. And you know, believer, isn't it true that our faith, we reckon, is strong as long as we can see the way ahead, as long as we can see an answer to our need? We will say, "Well, I'll just trust in the Lord." Because really, we can see the way ahead. We can see an answer. We can see how the need can be met. But take away what we see. We have a need and we can't see an answer. That's when we know our faith isn't really as strong after all. Because it's then we begin to lean upon our own understanding. What does Paul tell us? Paul tells us, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It's whenever we cannot see the answer, that's when we have to truly exercise faith. When we don't know where the answer is coming from, that's when we must rest in the Lord and say, "Lord, I do not know how this need is going to be met, but my trust is in thee. My faith is in thee." So this was the first test. And we can see that she passed that test. When Elijah asked her for a little water in a vessel, we're told that the widow woman showed a willingness to accommodate the prophet. Because we read in the verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it. So she was going to get him water. That was her intention. She intended to go and fetch the water. So she passed the first test of her faith. But believing that she would find another drop of water somewhere for herself, she was going to fetch it for Elijah. After all, it was only a little water. Now, if they had asked for a large pitcher of water, it might have been a different matter. But he'd only asked for a little water. Her faith could stretch that far. Her faith could accommodate going and getting a little water. You know, it's easy to be tempted to believe that we have great faith when there's not really any great test of our faith. It's only when our faith is tested, that's when we recognize and realize and discover how strong or how weak our faith is. Let me give you an example. You recall, according to Mark 4, verse 35, the Lord said to his disciples, let's pass over on to the other side. They were going to cross over Galilee to Gadara. But it was at night. It was at the close of the day. It was evening. Darkness was falling. And the Lord said, let us pass over on to the other side. Now for the disciples, it didn't take a great deal of faith to believe they were going to reach the other side. Even though it was dark. It didn't take a great deal of faith for them to believe they would reach the other side. But then things changed dramatically in the middle of the night. A great storm arose. And we are told, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And the disciples believed they were going to sink and drown. And they went to the Savior who was asleep. And they awoke the Savior and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Where's their faith now? They had enough faith to believe they would reach the other side when they left the shore and the waters were calm. But whenever the storm broke upon them, their faith evaporated. They believed they were going to perish, and they believed the Lord was going to allow it. Carest thou not that we perish? Not a terrible thing to say. But you know, when your faith is weak, you will say terrible things. You say terrible things to the Lord and about the Lord when your faith is weak. When the Lord Jesus rose up, stood in the ship, rebuked the storm, and there was a great calm, and then he turned his attention to the disciples and he said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Aren't we just the same? When the waters are calm, oh, we say, I have great faith. I can trust the Lord. He'll see me through. But whenever the waters become choppy, and the storms of life burst upon us, and we can't see through the darkness, and we can't see through the storm. Where's our faith then? Are we resting in the Lord? Or would the Lord say to us when we panic and get worried? Does the Lord say to us, why are ye so fearful? How is it ye have no faith? That would be quite a rebuke, wouldn't it? We notice the test of her faith. And now she discovers the truth about her faith. As I have said, it is when we cannot see the way ahead that our faith is truly tested and we find out the truth about ourselves, the truth about our faith. Notice, first of all, regarding the truth about her faith, the desire of the prophet. The prophet has already said to the woman, fetch me a little water. And then it says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. He not only wants the water, he wants bread too. She was willing to get him the water. But getting bread as well was a different matter. It was difficult enough for the widow to supply the need for herself and for her son, never mind supplying bread and water for a total stranger. But she was unaware. She was unaware that the Lord had appointed her to sustain Elijah. And that the Lord was in control of all things. That's it. That's something we should take note of here. The Lord had spoken to Elijah, told him about the widow woman. He went to Zarephath. The widow woman was there. He asked her for water and for bread. But she didn't know that she was the appointed one to help feed Elijah. But the Lord had so arranged it that way. You see, believer, the Lord was in control. He was in control of Elijah. He was in control of the woman. He was even in control of the rain that had been shut up for over a year. He's in control of all things. Now, why do we get so worried? Why do we get so worried? Whenever we know that God is sovereign and God is over all, why do we get so worried about our need being met? Why do we get so worried? When we think of the words of Paul in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. But my God shall supply all your need. But my God shall supply all your need. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Mark the words. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you see that word supply? My God shall supply all your needs. That word means to fill or to make full. Now, whenever we have a particular need, we're asking the Lord just to meet that need. Just give us enough to get us through. But lo and behold, the Bible tells us that our God is able to supply all our need. Our God is able to fill the vessel. Fill it to overflowing. You recall when the Lord fed the thousands, the 5,000 plus men, women and children, and the 4,000. You recall how after they were fed, he sent the disciples out to gather up the fragments. And the first feeding of the thousands, the 5,000, they gathered 12 baskets full. It's the same word. And in the feeding of the 4,000, they gathered up 7 baskets full. And it's the same word. You see, when the Lord looks after us, he looks after us well. When he supplies all our need according to his riches and glory, he not only supplies the need, but he fills us. He fills the cupboards. He fills the vessels. He fills us. As he filled the multitudes with bread, and as he filled the vessels, or the baskets, with the remain. That's how the Lord deals with us. What was this widow woman asked to do? She was asked to give to Elijah. What did the Lord say? Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. See? See what he does. Why do we distrust him? Why do we doubt him? When we have a need, why do we doubt the Lord? When he's able to supply or make full all our needs according to his riches and glory. You'll notice also not only his desire but the dismay. You have the dismay of the widow. Upon being asked for a little water and a morsel of bread, the widow was plunged into a state of despair. For verse 12, she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Despair. She's telling Elijah, "Elijah, I don't even have enough bread for you, me, and my son. I've only enough for my son and I." Now, here is where the widow finds out the truth about her faith. Do you not think it's interesting that when she spoke to Elijah, she said to Elijah, or Elijah rather in verse 10 said to her, "I pray thee, fetch me a little water." In verse 12 she says, "I only have a little oil." And in verse 13 Elijah had said, "Make me a little cake." In other words, this woman really was poor. Little water, little bread, or little oil, the little bread. She doesn't have a great deal. But I want you to notice something. Here she says, after Elijah had asked her for a morsel of bread, she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth." Isn't it interesting that she spoke about the Lord thy God, yet she didn't think to look to the Lord her God? She talked to Elijah about the Lord his God, but she in turn did not think to look to the Lord his God to supply the need. Don't we do the same? We think we can work it all out ourselves. Everything we have, we look around us, we have little here, it's little there, and a little somewhere else. But why don't we look to the Lord to supply all our needs? She didn't need to be dismayed. She had only to look to the Lord her God. What are we told to do? The Lord has told us. The Lord Jesus himself has told us. Have faith in God. Why was this widow so dismayed? Because she did not show that she had faith in God. All she could see were the little things. Little water, little oil, and a little bread. Matthew 21 verse 21 says, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the midst of the sea, it shall be done. Have faith in God. And the reason why we worry so much about the circumstances in life is because we forget to have faith in God. We forget he's able to supply, make full all our need according to his riches and glory. Instead, believer, of looking down, let us look up. Let us remember, whatever our need is, our trust is in a God who has said, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Don't we need to pray with the apostles, Lord, increase our faith? You have the despair of the woman next, her dismay. Look at her despair. She's now in absolute despair. What did she say to Elijah? I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son. Listen. And that we may die. Isn't that what we tend to do? Don't we always look on the dark side of things? Don't we give up? Here she was in despair. What was she going to do? She says, all that I have is enough for my son and myself, and after that we'll die. She was looking. She was looking on the worst side of things. She was thinking the worst. Don't we do the same? At night you're lying in bed and you're worried about something, and then you go through all these scenarios and you sit, I'm beat. I can't go any further. We always look on the worst side of everything. We don't need to. We don't need to look on the worst side of everything. We have a God in heaven. Remember the children of Israel? They came to the Red Sea. They came what I call Wits End Corner. You've been to Wits End Corner, haven't you? There they were before the Red Sea. Mountains on either side. Pharaoh's chariots and army pursuing behind. And a great expanse of water before. There was nowhere to go. Wits End Corner. And they cried out to Moses. Here's another example of people looking on the worst side of things. They cried out to Moses. They said, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? We're going to die here, Moses. Why did we ever leave Egypt? This is where we're going to die. Just like the widow. My son and I are going to die. Israel said, we're going to die in the wilderness. What did the Lord say? The Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. How can they go forward? It's the Red Sea. The children of Israel were to go forward by faith. And once the Levites touched the water and Moses stretched out his rod across the sea, the Lord sent a great east wind and behold, the waters divided. They marched forward by faith. In the words we were singing this morning, the words of John Yeats, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Lord, give us more faith. In the last place, and very, very briefly, you have the triumph of our faith. Triumph of our faith was seen, first of all, in an example of faith. She'd only to look to Elijah. And Elijah said in verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. You see, Elijah knew that there would be enough to make bread for him, and for the woman, and for her son. Because Elijah believed the Lord. Because the next verse says, for, or because, thus saith the Lord, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Elijah believed God. That was his example. He showed her what it was to have faith in God. He was saying to the woman, look, you go and make me bread, because I believe that after you make me bread, there'll be enough for you and there'll be enough for your son. Don't worry, it's not going to run out. He believed God. He had faith in God. We go on again and we notice also here, the exercise of faith. The widow woman now exercises her faith because we're told she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. What was the saying of Elijah? It was the word of the Lord. And believer, whenever your faith is weak, you wonder how you're going to get through, just go to the word of the Lord. The Lord will have a word for you. And I trust that even today, this message that you've heard has been a word for you. A word that will boost your faith and encourage you more and more to have faith in God. And you have the experience of faith. What did she experience after having faith in God? She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her son and her house did eat many days. She thought there was only enough for her and her son and she would die. Not so. She'll be able to feed Elijah, feed herself, feed her son, feed the house, not only for one day, but many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. See, the Lord always keeps his word. You know, when someone that you know is a person who always keeps their word, you say, he's a perfect gentleman. Because he always keeps his word. Well, you know something? The Lord Jesus is the perfect gentleman. He always keeps his word. Have faith in God. He'll not let you down. When you're worried about the future, have faith in God. And you wonder how you're going to get through the trials of life, have faith in God. Rest in the Lord. Rest also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Praise his name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and eternal Father, we bless thee for the encouragement we receive from thy word. And how, dear Lord, in the storms of life, when all is dark and all hope, like that time when Paul and the prisoners were in the ship and the great storm broke upon them, all hope of them ever being saved was lost. Sometimes, Lord, we feel that way. But, O Lord, have us not to look down to the grave, but to look up to God. O Lord, I pray that as a result of thy word today, our faith will be strengthened and will have greater faith to face the days ahead. Thy Lord, be with us as we part the one from the other. Grant us all safety and travel. And in thy will, Lord, return us this evening to learn more about thee from thy word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now, and until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away. Amen.